sixth chapter of Hosea, and we're reading together, taking your time from me. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as a light that goeth forth. But I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, or they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is a whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set in harvest for thee. When I returned the captivity of my people. Ending our reading at verse 11, and God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his precious and holy word. The Lord led me as I was considering a motto text for this incoming year to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Let's get it absolutely clear at the beginning of this morning that when God saves a soul, that soul is saved for all eternity. Oftentimes, I hear people who ought to know better. And when a person makes a profession of faith in Christ, they say, I hope he will hold on. I hope that he will go on. Well, you don't need to make any fuss or show any anxious care over a truly converted person. If God has saved them, they will go on. And God himself has got an unbreakable grip on them. They will go on to eternity and heaven. If they really have saving faith, they're as good as being in heaven already. For God doesn't save people to let them go to hell. He saves people to bring them safely to heaven. And no person saved by God's grace will ever perish. They're saved for all eternity. His honor has engaged to save the meanest of his sheep. And he has a lot of mean sheep, the Lord. But his honor has made the great decision that it doesn't rest with the sheep, it rests with the shepherd. It's the shepherd that brings you to heaven. Not your mere efforts, but the Almighty Shepherd's mighty efforts. All that is heaven, by Father gave, his hands securely keep. Nor death nor hell shall e'er remove his favorites from his breast. In the dear bosom of his love, they must forever rest. What Christ puts his hand to, he accomplishes. It was Mr. Spurgeon who used to tell his young converts that they should pray continually these words: "We have no fear that thou should lose one whom eternal love could choose, but we would ne'er that grace abuse." And so we pray continually, "Let us not fall, let us not fall." He is able to keep us from falling, and to present us spotless before his glory with exceeding joy. This text of mine answers a very important question. After conversion, what? If you have responded to the sweet invitation of that gospel word, come. The Lord is the only Savior. The eternal Jehovah, the Almighty three in one, and one in three, has something to say to you. Look with me at verse 1 of Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. The first thing that God does when he works upon a soul is to tear that soul with the deep conviction of sin. A tearing work takes place in the heart of the sinner that he's going to see it. But he not only tears, but thank God he heals that which is torn. He binds up that which is smitten. After 2 days, he revives us, because it's on the third day that resurrection takes place, and he raises us up. And we shall live in his sight. There is the definition of divine conversion. That's what conversion is. There's a tearing. There is a healing. There's a smiting. There's a binding up. There is the raising up. And the person lives in the sight of God. So here is a person genuinely and definitely, and thank God, eternally converted. Now, after that conversion, what happens? That brings me to my text. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as a morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. There are five things I want you to note this morning. There's this certainty of knowing. You can be absolutely sure. You can be dead on certain that you have the knowledge of sins forgiven. We should live in the constant, blessed, day-to-day experience of the forgiveness of sin. Then there is the condition of knowing. If I'm going to know, I've got to follow on to know the Lord. I've got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then there's a commencing of the knowing. His going forth is prepared as the morning. Then there's the character of the knowing. He shall come unto us as the rain. And there is the consequence of knowing as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The certainty of knowing, first of all, then shall we know. It is knowledge of God that saves the soul. Let me repeat that. It is the knowledge of God that saves the soul. It is right to say to a person, do you know God? For if you don't know God, you're a lost soul. It's the knowledge of God that works salvation in our heart. When John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, lay dying, he said to his wife, read me where I first cast anchor. And she turned to John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3. For it was in that text that John Knox, then a Roman Catholic priest, made the shore from the billows of his own sin. But what is that text? This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Saving knowledge is a knowledge of the true God, the only true God. And it is a knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Yes, it is in the certainty of knowing God and knowing his Son that we have eternal life. How do I know I have eternal life? Because I know God. God is not a stranger to my soul. There was a time when he was a stranger. And there was a time when I was once a stranger to him. But he's no longer a stranger. I'm in speaking terms with God. Hallelujah. And it's not on my terms that I speak to him, but it's on his. And I know his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a stranger to my soul. I commune with him day and daily. He walks with me, hallelujah, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. There are so many Christians, and they have just good morning, good night relationships with Jesus Christ. They get up in the morning and they have no time to prayer. And they just say, good morning, God. And at night, they've been so busy looking at some old television program or some other putrid thing of this corrupting world, and they haven't time to pray, so they just say good night. If you have only a nodding acquaintance with God, you're not saved. I want to say that to you. You don't go to heaven on a nodding acquaintance with God. You have to have a real, personal, up-to-date, day-by-day experience with God. So you need to search your heart. If you're just saying, good morning, God, good night, God, a passing acquaintance with God, you're not born again. You may have a religious profession, but you haven't the genuine work of the Spirit, because a person that is born again lives in constant communion with God. He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's freedom for those who know the truth. Only the true God can save you. Only the true God can reveal to your heart and give you the assurance of salvation. The Spirit answers to my spirit that I am a child of God. I don't care how many people stand up and point their finger at me and say to me, you're not a Christian. I've got inside information. The blessed Holy Ghost has sealed it in my heart, and the Spirit answers to the blood that I am born of God. Are you living in constant joy of the assurance of salvation? It is the Father's gift alone in which eternal life is found. Thanks be unto God, for it is for his unspeakable gift. It is in Jesus Christ alone that salvation is centered. He is called Jesus, for he saves his people from their sins. Salvation comes in the certainty of knowing God's way of salvation and walking therein. The certainty of knowing. Oh, happy is the soul who knows. The beginning of salvation comes with the first knowledge of God. It is the Father who in grace and mercy and peace works the wonder of his everlasting love within our hearts. We learn to know him as a father that pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth those that fear him. Do you know the Father? Do you know the Father as a pitying, loving, compassionate, and tender-hearted Father? To know the Son is to know him as the prophet and the priest and the king. The prophet who shows us the will of God for our salvation. The priest who has offered himself without spot in our guilty room and stead that we might be redeemed. And the king who conquers all his and our enemies. Do you know anything about that threefold relationship with Jesus Christ? To know him in all the mystery of his incarnation, being a one flesh with us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To know Christ in reconciliation and the giving of himself to the death of the cross in order to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God. Have you got that knowledge in your heart? I know the Father. I know the Son. 10,000 charms around him shine. But best of all, I know he's mine. And what about the blessed Holy Spirit? Do you know him? He resides in your body if you're saved. He's the quickener, the indweller, the infiller, and the empowerer
except you know the Father, and you know the Son, and you know the Holy Spirit, you're not building eternally on the Rock of Ages. And you cannot build gold, silver, and precious stones if you don't know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that what you build will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll be burned up in the fire of God's judgment in the day when God judges His people. But let's turn to the second thing. The condition of knowing. We follow on to know the Lord. When I was saved, I started the journey. I started a journey that had one great overwhelming characteristic. I was to follow Jesus. Discipleship is following Jesus. The proof I am a child of God is I follow the Lamb wheresoever He leads me. And you know that's pursuit of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that started on the day I was saved. It will go on forever. If I meet you 10 billion trillion years into the great eternity that's coming, you'll still be following Jesus. I am mystified when I read the book of Revelation, and it says in chapter 7, verses 15 and 17, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. The pursuit of God in heaven is what heaven's about. We will be in pursuit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for all eternity. We will be following on to know the Lord. I'm going to learn something new about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit every moment I'm in heaven. The inexhaustible God, the God that no man can defy, the mysterious God is going to reveal to me in heaven who He is. And He's going to reveal His heart and His mind and His purpose and His grace. Oh, the wonder of it. Your job in time is not to go back and talk about ways that you have traveled and trodden. Your job in time is to follow on determinately, not to obtain earthly knowledge. And so many statistical figures, but to really know God. His ways are working. His wonders that are past finding out. That's why God calls us to follow Him. Of course, if you trifle with His book and don't read it, if you withhold your thanksgiving from the God who has saved you, if you neglect the sacred place, if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, no absenteeism from the mercy seat God will tolerate, no neglect of private meditation on the great and precious promises. I wonder, you know, at times, how God's people will stand at the judgment day. And God will say to them, I have looked the record, and never once were you at a prayer meeting in the house of God. You told me that you loved me because I died for you. But your love did not stretch to the attendance of one prayer meeting in the house of God that you attended. These, my friend, are solemn matters. No wonder the Bible keeps telling us to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Let me turn for a moment to the commencing of knowing. His going forth is prepared as the morning. Mark this glorious commencing. What happens in the morning? The night is turned away. And when God comes to the heart of the believer and commences teaching us how we can know, what happens? The night is pushed out by the power of God. The things of the night, the affairs of the night, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of the devil, God deals with them, and the light shines in. God's curriculum has been set in this book and should be carefully followed by us all. I would say to my soul, O my soul, press on to know the Lord. Press on to know the sunshine of the commencement of His rays in my heart, this blessed brightness. It's dull in the morning, but as the morning pursues its path, the darkness gives way, and the glorious light casts its brightness upon all that share the morning. Oh, what a morning when God comes to our lives. Oh, what a morning when the darkness of this old world fades and the things that once possessed our thinking and possessed our time and possessed our whole life style fades away. Walking in Beulah land. We're walking in the land that is Emmanuel's land. This knowledge increases. Ask yourself a question. What do you know about God today that you didn't know this time last year? Are you making progress? The Bible tells me we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Are you growing? Can you say, I have learned things, preacher, this last year. God has taught me in the hard school of suffering. God has taught me in the hard school of battling with the enemy of my soul, but I have learned. I know more about God today than I ever knew because God has revealed Himself to me. Oh, it's wonderful when the morning comes to the soul. I met a man some time ago who once was a power for God and good in this country. But he got in with a lot of modernists. He lost his zeal for God and his fire for the things of God. He still preached great sermons, but they were powerless. He still had the language of evangelicalism, but it was as dead as a letter. And then one day, God struck him down. It was a man who was always healthy. A man who was always in great form physically. And God struck him down. And God started to shake the canvas and pull up the ropes and remove the fastenings. And as he looked back in his life, he said, what a fool my obedience. But he was going through this experience. I met him one day on the road. I had many arguments with him in the old days about modernists and ecumenism, the inroads of popery, and the curse that it was. And he used to always put it off with a shrug of the shoulders. But he was a new man. He had got back to where he started. And he said, "Oh, it's so different. It's so different. What a fool I was. Wasted his whole life in bypass metal. And only at the end, when his health was gone, only at the end did he get back to where he should have always been." Notice the character of the knowing. He shall come unto us as the rain. This is a personal experience that God gives to his people. The rain of the Holy Land came at a set time. Not like here or on Balamita where you have rain all the time, but there was a set time for the rain to come. And there was the early rain and the latter rain. But you know, God only sends rain upon his people when people are thirsty for it. God does not supply his drink to non-thirsty souls. I was reading very early this morning when you probably were enjoying your morning sleep. I was reading the Beatitudes. I was going to say something, but I'm not. I'll leave it to your imagination to know what I was going to say. But I was reading the Beatitudes, and I was struck with, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, the parched and the pinched Christian, hungering and thirst." And what does it say? They shall be filled. God's going to set the table. And it's going to give them the greatest feast they ever had. But it's for thirsty souls. If a church does not recognize it's parched, if a Christian does not recognize he's parched, and there are Christians that don't recognize that they are in a parched condition. They're like the man of the Old Testament who had gray hairs upon his head, but he never looked in the mirror. Some fellows look in the mirror and have no hair at all. But this man looked, and he looked, but he never saw the gray hairs. Gray hairs are here and there upon them, and he knew it not. But as Mr. Spurgeon once said, the Christian that walks in the showers of God here on earth will be planted by a river of water in Emmanuel's land. And there his thirst will be quenched everlastingly in that river that is full of water and from those trees that are full of sap. He shall come upon us as the rain. Oh, that God would give us a thirst in our heart for the blessed raindrops of blessing and revival. Last of all, notice the consequence of the knowing as the latter and former rain on the earth. We're not talking here about a letter God. There's a lot of Christians today, and they've never understood what the book says, the letter telleth. Well, you have a letter God, but you shouldn't be worshipping a letter God. You should be worshipping a living God. The difference. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Return unto me,
is the sweet invitation of a long-suffering God. Thank God there are latter and former deluges of blessing available to the church today. A man said to me this past week, "Do you believe that the church can be revived?" I said, "Of course I believe it can be revived." I'll go further. I believe the church is going to be revived. But I put a question to you. If the Lord Jesus is coming, and He is, what sorts of church is He coming for? A despoiled, ragamuffin type of church? No. The church that Jesus is coming for is like a bride adorned for her husband. There's only one thing will do that. And that'll be a great revival of true religion. That's the only thing. And it is my earnest hope that God will burn into our hearts this incoming year that desire that God will make 2003 a year of great blessing, not only in our churches, not only in our beloved province, not only on this island, not only in the British Isles, but across the whole world. Our God still lives. Elijah's God still lives today to take the guilt of sin away. And when I cry in Jesus' name, He answers still by fire. I draw your attention to a lovely verse in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 4. And with this verse I will end. What a promise it is. "And he shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain." What a description of revival is in that text. The light of the morning. Who is the bright and morning star? It's the Lord Jesus. When the sun rises, it will be a morning without clouds. What dark clouds hang over the church and hang over this universe this day as we go out into this new year. But praise God, there's such a thing as a morning without clouds. And the tender grass springing out of the earth. This is a day of refreshment. And that there's going to be clear shining after the rain has stopped. Oh, may God put into our hearts a desire to see a great movement of the Spirit. And may we be determined that come what may, we will follow on to know our God.